All right, Torah said, good evening. We're picking up tonight the Nes Hashem in the third parak here of the Rebbe's Maimor over here of Ani LeDodi VeDodi Li. So there's a very beautiful piece. Remember, again, we were speaking about the idea in the previous shir, which already was a little while ago. We were speaking about the concept that Ani LeDodi VeDodi Li really represents two different kind of components of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That Ani LeDodi represents the aspect of our relationship in which we are obligated to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ultimately, again, bring ourselves closer to Hashem. And V'Dodi Li, ultimately, again, is if we bring ourselves close to Hashem, then the Ribono Shel Olam goes ahead and brings himself close to us. And again, that's Yamim Nora, that's Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So the Rebbe is continuing over here, we'll say, and again, at the end of the first chapter, we didn't learn it inside, but we actually mentioned it, our first shir. That's what the Rebbe really gives his mashal of what we call a melech basada, right? That the entire essence of Chodesh Elul, ultimately, again, is that the king, think, well, that the king is in the field. That whereas the rest of the year, again, in order to access the king, you have to try to get to the palace, and getting into the palace could be complicated because the king doesn't necessarily give unrestricted access to the palace. But Lamaisa Chodesh Elul, we have the ability, the king leaves the palace, goes into the field, and we have the ability to access him in a profound and intimate way. Not having to figure out how to get into the palace, but recognizing that the king is mamish coming to us. So with that, we begin the third part, the third chapter. He says, we're following along just in the sheets in this bottom part over here. So the right side says, "V'yish ba'adam bechinas er moshav u'bechinas sada midbar." So it's a very profound idea that essentially that man really has two different states. Sometimes man is an er moshav. Er moshav means, you know, like an inhabited city. A habitation, a city, u'bechinas sada u'midbar. And then sometimes, ultimately, again, man is like a field and a desert. So we'll say, this is really a very interesting idea. Two different, almost like two different aspects of the Ribono Shel Olam, or I should say, two different aspects of the personality of man. Sometimes man is like an inhabited, settled city, and sometimes man is like a desolate field or a desolate desert. Midbar, he eres lo zura, shem ha-masim ba-dibur ma-machshavas asher lo la-shem hema. Shabbo says, this is really beautiful. So that means, what does this mean? We're seriously in a desert, ultimately, again, and the city. So obviously, again, the desert itself is arid, is desolate. There's nothing there. The city is built up, is inhabited. So the Rebbe says that sometimes man finds himself in the state of being like a desert. What does that mean? That ultimately, again, he finds himself engaging in actions, in words, and thoughts that are not directed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, what does this mean? Well, so let's take a look. Inyan HaMashal, the melech ba'ir u'melech ba'sada, mora ashne matzavim ba'avodas ha'adam l'kono. This whole idea, that's right, so again, in Perek Aleph, in the first chapter, so the Rebbe was describing that there are two different states of God. There's the melech ba'ir, the king is in the city. That refers to when Hashem is in his palace, Hashem is by his throne, and the ability to interact or connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is much more difficult because there are obstacles, there are barriers. Versus melech ba'sada means the king has left the palace, the king ultimately again is in the field, and therefore much more easily accessible. So the Rebbe says as follows, he says, Ir, Makom Moshav V'diras B'nei Adam. Now he says, interestingly enough, right, a city ultimately, again, is a place of habitation where people live. Where people live. So he says, Uvenim Shal Hainu Kisha Adam Hu B'matzav Sha'ora Eloki Shochin Bo B'galoi B'es Yashvos U'bichlalos Zehu Kisha Adam Osek B'nyanei Kidusha B'limat HaTorah B'kima Mitzvos HaOlos HaTzila. So there are times in life when I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. I'm learning, I'm davening, I'm engaged in chesed, I'm living the life I am supposed to live. I'm engaged in kedusha. In those times, ultimately again, that's melech basada. Excuse me, that's melech be'ir. That represents the king is in the city. Now again, what the Rebbe is doing over here is he's using this metaphor both to refer to God as well as to refer to man, right? So in the beginning of the Sefer, in Perek Aleph, Melech Basada, Melech Be'ir referred to two different states of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When the Ribono Shel Olam is in the city, he's in the palace, there's obstacles, there's barriers, not constant access, Melech Basada, the king is in the field, constant access. Now the Rebbe is applying that same metaphor to man himself. That there are times that I, remember, a Jew is also a Melech, a Jew is also a king. So there are times that I am in the city, meaning I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. I'm living the right kind of life. Learning Torah, doing mitzvahs, engaging in chesed, and ultimately, again, that's melech be'ir. And then conversely, Masha'in came, sada, mora al ma'amat u'matzav shel chol. But then there are other times in life where ultimately what? Where I am in the desert. Right? I'm in the field. What does this mean? So we'll say, so being in the field means that I'm in a state of what the Rebbe calls chol. Listen, I'm just switching on. I forgot to just switch on the air conditioning for 1 moment.
Chassidus warms the heart. Chassidus warms the heart. You have to balance it. You don't overheat.
Is that what it is?
Too much passion.
I mean, he's a warm Jew, huh?
No. It's important. One of the most startling things about this building that is just fascinating is new construction, commercial construction, which is what is not built with windows that open. Everything is temperature controlled. That's the way, if you go to any new building today, that's the way it's built. So it's fascinating, right? Because you think, like, on a night like that, just open up a window. But so you have to always remember to put on the air conditioning in different. Okay, so sorry about that. So in any event, so the Rebbe says as follows. That the same way that there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Melech Basada, Melech Ba'ir, so too man, sometimes man is in the state of Melech Basada, Melech Ba'ir. Melech Ba'ir, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. Learning, davening, everything. And then the Rebbe says, Masha'in Kein Sada, I'm on page Yud Ches, the right-hand paragraph, towards the last paragraph on the right-hand side. Masha'in Kein Sada, Mora Al Ma'amat U'matzav Shel Chol. Sometimes a person is what the Rebbe calls a state of Chol. Now, it's interesting. What does chol mean? What does chol mean? Chol means mundane. Now, what does this mean? He says, she'ina elakus begilui obes yashvosham. Sometimes the godliness inside of me is not really apparent. It's not visible. He says, ubefrat ima adam hu bemadrega shal midbar eretz lo zurua hamora alamaisim vadibur vamachshavos asher lo lahashem hema. And sometimes when a person is in a desert, we'll say, so what grows in the desert? Nothing really. So sometimes, again, I'm also like a desert. There's nothing really growing inside of me. There's nothing really happening with me. I give off the appearance of just being profoundly, spiritually desolate. Now, we're going to see in just a moment, the Rebbe is not describing necessarily that I'm doing even anything overtly wrong. Like, in other words, we could be talking about a state where I'm not even actively sinning. But there's no dynamic activity that is happening. He says, "She'in sham shum zriya utzmicha she'or hakedusha." It's actually a very beautiful and profound phrase. There is no zriya means planting or sowing. Tzmicha means flourishing. There is no planting or flourishing of the light of holiness. I'm just blah. So again, not even sinful. So you hear the two dynamics? There's Melech Ba'ir, I could be a city Jew. What does it mean to be a city Jew? Just like the city is built up. So too, again, I as a Yid, I as a Jew, I'm spiritually built up. I'm doing and have everything I need to be doing. That doesn't mean perfection, but again, I'm doing all of this stuff. And there are some times when I am Melech Basada, where again, or Sada in this context, everyone's saying to me like a desert Jew. And a desert Jew, nothing's really growing, nothing's really flourishing. Nothing's really happening. Now he goes on, he says, "Ein tzarich lomar im pagam b'machshava dibor ma'isa." He says, obviously, if a person is sinning, right? Pagam b'machshava dibor ma'isa means if a person is having sinful thoughts, or a person is speaking sinful things, or engaging in sinful activities, that's obvious that a person then relegates himself to the status of a desert Jew. But the Rebbe takes it a step further. Ella, afilu gam inyone heter, rak shem inyonem shinum tzrichim la'avodas Hashem udvarim betelim. Ratzinger will say, what happens if I'm just engaging in unimportant things? I'm spending my life doing things that don't really matter. It just doesn't really matter. In other words, it's not aser. It's just gam in yonei heter. What I'm doing is permitted. But ultimately, again, it's things that are, they don't advance my personalistic cause. They don't help with my avodas Hashem. So by definition, that falls into the category of avod dvarim betelim. So things for naught. Things for naught, wasteful things. Hari lav orka de milka lishtaye b'mila dehejota. So I'll say, what's the problem? I will say, here's what's interesting. We are so focused often on the avoidance of sin, which of course is good, right? That makes a lot of sense. We should be focused on the avoidance of sin. But the Rebbe says the avoidance of sin by definition, by itself, is not the recipe for success. First of all, I have to be doing good things in order to ultimately be successful. But the Rebbe here highlights something different. If I'm engaged in activity that doesn't move me forward, if I'm engaged in activity that just, you know, just like, it doesn't do anything. It's just a little bit empty. It's just a little bit vacuous. It's just, again, it's what he calls maisechol. It's a mundane thing. Not aser, not illicit, just mundane. What's the problem with engaging in mundane activity? What's the problem with it? What's the problem with it? So ultimately, again, the king, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doesn't engage in mundane activity. I'll give you a good example. Imagine for a moment, I mean, I don't know, you think about like the biggest tzaddik, you know, Rebbe, someone else, right? And Mamish, like, you know, you want to show this Rebbe, you know, what, I'll give you, imagine Amir Tzashem, right? This Mashiach comes, this Chesem Yisim, and the Piyajetzna is back, right? And again, we obviously have so much Akar stuff for the Piyajetzna. So what do I want to do for the Rebbe? What do I want to do for the Rebbe? So I have a great idea. I have season tickets to the Ravens, right? And I've even got like a box, and then, you know, Knish Shop will do some catering, and I'm like, Piyajetzna, come with me. They will say, would it ever dawn on you to invite the Piyajetzna to a football game? Why not? What? Why is it inappropriate?
It's mundane.
Because it's mundane. You see, again, is going to the football game illicit? No. No. Is it wrong? No. No. It's a nice, legitimate, I was going to say clean and healthy, but that would not be true. Neither clean nor is it healthy form of entertainment, right? But again, if you liked watching, you know, overgrown men in tight pants, you know, jumping all over each other, then fantastic, go for it. In other words, great, great. In the grand scheme of things, none of us are doing tshuva for watching football, right? If that's the biggest thing that I've got, the biggest waste of time, I'm in good shape. But it would never dawn on me to invite the Piyajetzna to a football game. It would never dawn on me. It would never dawn on me. I think the Piyajetzna would enjoy this. Right? No, why? I don't mean just because of the historical gap. I just mean you could fill in the blank, whatever it is. You know, soccer, I don't know, Europeans, you know, maybe whatever. So you would never do it because some of those Kaddish, they don't speak that language. Like, it's not. So the Rebbe says something amazing. There's a category of behavior that's called maisechol. They're just mundane activities. Nothing wrong with it. Not bad, even okay for us in moderation. But just understand, God doesn't talk that language. God doesn't talk that language. So because God doesn't talk that language, so to speak, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not really involved in those things, by definition, too much engagement in those things, by definition, distances me from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have to tell you something funny. So I was on Sunday morning. Sometimes I learned with a group of middle school boys here at the shul. And not this past week, but 2 weeks ago, I asked the boys, "What are you doing this afternoon?" "Oh, we're football the whole afternoon." So I said, "Oh, that's incredible. Where do you guys play?" And I got like this blank expression. It's like, "No, we're watching football the whole afternoon." Chabosai, so look, you know, so again, usher, no, it's like no one can tell you that it's usher. But just understand, is God in the room with you when that's happening? Maybe for an hour, you know, I don't know, you know, maybe for a little bit. But at a certain point in time, you know, it just becomes something that is just so mundane for a Jew to engage in. And therefore, by definition, just understand again, the Rebbe is pointing out, it just creates this distance between me and Hashem, which is fascinating. In other words, we always think about sin creating the distance between us and God. But the Rebbe is highlighting over here, consistent mundane activity also creates a distance between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But also, I just want to point out something interesting. You know, to me, the fascinating fixation on Charlie Kirk is the whole thing is so fascinating. And I want to point out to you, and like, the fixation, not just from the conservative right of this country, but again, it's fascinating, right? You just see, like, they're recording, like, you have, like, these, like liberal artists who are like, recording songs and should be the child. What's the pshat? Now, obviously, just we're horrified by just the sheer senseless brutality of a person, of a young man, a young father being assassinated, literally again on a college campus. But I think that deep down also, there aren't a lot of examples of people who lead meaningful and wholesome lives. There just aren't, the world, we, Baruch Hashem, we as Am Yisrael, we have many people within our midst who we know do this. But the world doesn't see people like that. Right? There was this video going around on Instagram, how he kept the Sabbath. He kept the Sabbath. The Jewish, I don't know, it was the seventh day. Friday night, he would turn off his phone, and, you know, he would leave it off until Saturday night. And he had a recording from his wife saying, you know, it's time for our marriage, it's time for our kids, it's time for this. That level of wholesomeness, you don't see it. You can't find it in the world, right? Open up a newspaper and try to find wholesomeness, right? Go onto a news channel, try to find. You can't find it because it seems like the majority of human activity, although this is not true, it just is the way that it feels, is either inherently negative or at least is mundane. And then once in a while, the person comes along who is just so profoundly wholesome, or at least that's how the world views them, and there's a profound fixation on it. So the Rebbe says, this is one of the areas I think that we often don't pay attention to. We're so focused on the avoidance of sin, which is good, and rehabilitating ourselves from sin, which is fantastic, that we forget to ask ourselves, am I living a mundane life? Is a lot of my life steeped in mundane activity? And even if that mundane activity is not sinful, just understand that it creates that distance between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rebbe goes on, he says, "Ubelow la'Hashem heima, nechlalim lo rak dvarim asur nechas v'shalom." Again, this idea of engaging in actions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't approve of does not only refer to actual sinful activity, ela gam inyonei heter, she'in bahem tzorach ba'avodas Hashem v'chein dvarim betelim. There are certain permitted things, but they serve no purpose in my relationship with God. And the truth is, to a certain degree, it represents a little bit of a waste of time. He says, "Lefi shelav orcha demalka lishtay b'mila dehaduta." The king doesn't occupy himself with the pursuits of the commoner. Right? In other words, you're generally not going to see the king. You're not going to see the king, you know, playing dice. You go to the street corner, you see people playing dice, you're not going to see the king playing. The king doesn't engage. And I want to say, I think one of the reasons why in general, right, we live in a time where we are, or we feel so disillusioned with leadership, is because we don't see leadership holding themselves to a different standard. Right? That sometimes they seem to be engaging in the same mundaneness and pettiness and whole-like behavior of regular people. But in a real leadership model with a melech doesn't engage in the same activities. Right? One thing is clear, you'll never find the king watching football all of Sunday afternoon. Why not? He's got stuff to do. Because being the king is a mission-driven life. Right? He's got stuff he has to do. So because of that, again, there's not the... But now, again, I will say, see, you hear this distinction, right? On one hand, is there anything wrong with spending my time with mundane things? There's nothing sinful. There's no avera. And in the grand scheme of things, for many of us, like, I'm not even up to worrying about those things yet. But the Rebbe suggests to understand, consistent involvement in mundane things distances me from the king. because the king doesn't really get involved in mundane stuff. And if my interests and the king's interests are not really aligned, then by definition we have a relationship chasm. He goes on, he says, Ein darko shel melech la'aso b'divrei adyot ve'inyon ha'baruchnius. Ein ha'kadosh baruch hu yochol l'iskalos ba'adam ha'osek b'divrei chol. The rabbi writes, and they will say these words are very profound. The ribono shel olam cannot become revealed in a person who is constantly engaged in mundane activity. He just can't. It's not anger. It's not punishment. It's just the king can't relate to someone who's spending his life engaged in those mundane activities. V'zeu asher lo yashav adam sham perush adam hu kimo shekasav liadamus akisei demus kimara adam lo yeshiv sham. So what does this mean? Take a look. He says, Adam, Kaila Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's interesting, okay, we're not going to delve into the intricacies of the pasuk over here, but the Rebbe says, Adam, in this context, interestingly enough, just like in the mashal, in the metaphor, Melech could mean both God and man. So the Rebbe is interpreting this to mean, Adam could also mean, interestingly enough, both God and man. Adam ha'elyon kimo shekasov. So we'll say, and this is really incredible. The Rebbe is saying like this, what is man's entire mission? So remember again, man's entire mission is really highlighted for us in the beginning of our national journey. In Parshas Truma, what does Hashem say? Va'asuli mikdash v'shachanti v'socham. Right? Make for me a temple and I will dwell within you. Now, obviously, the problem is with the wording over there, right? It should say, asuli mikdash, make for me a mikdash v'shachanti v'socho, and I will live in it. But it doesn't say that. It says, make for me a mikdash or a mishkan, and I will live within you. So the same way, how do you ensure that the Ribono Shel Olam lives in the Beis HaMikdash? How do you do it? You have to make sure that the space is holy. And the moment that the space becomes profaned is the moment that the Shekhinah leaves. And that's why, again, if you look, there are so many details. You've seen this over our course of Daf Yomi. We're about to start Kutchim tomorrow, so we'll see this in greater detail. There are so many details surrounding the behaviors you need to engage in order to maintain the holiness of the space. And it's everything, right? How does a person enter into the Beis HaMikdash? You're not allowed to wear your shoes. You can't wear shoes in the Beis HaMikdash. You can't bring your wallet. You can't bring your walking staff, right? Because when you come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a sense of humility, right? What karbanos are offered where? Who can go into what locations? There's all of these strictures, all of these laws. Because if you want holiness, there has to be directed and intentional activity. And therefore, says that was something absolutely amazing. That's why Hashem says, Va'asuli mikdash, the goal ultimately is not to have God reside in the mikdash. I mean, that is a goal. But the ultimate goal is, I want God to reside inside of me. I'm the mikdash also. Each of us is a base of mikdash. And I want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reside in me. How do I get Hashem to reside in me the same way that I get Him to reside in the base of mikdash? Just like, again, a Beis HaMikdash can't have mundane activity happening inside its precincts, so too man can't have mundane activity happening inside his personalistic precincts, or otherwise, God can't be there. Now, listen, now let's just to frame this just a moment. Now, obviously, there's always going to be some time where I'm engaged in mundane stuff. But part of the beauty is that we really understand that if one lives with intentionality, everything ultimately, again, can serve a higher purpose. I'll give you just a good example, right? Even if I know we keep using football as the example, right? How do you use football for a higher purpose? How do you use it?
Invite your rabbi.
I'm sorry? Invite your rabbi, right? Invite your rabbi, right? If you win the pool, donate it to the shul, right? In other words, I will say, if a person says, you know what? I need a little bit of time to relax. Because everyone needs downtime, right? Everybody needs a little bit of time where they can just shut off. So I'm going to sit here with my family, with my friends, spend time with good people, you know, and just, okay, watch the game. And I decide how long I'm watching it for. And it doesn't become like an entire day's activity. But rather, again, like the Peter Mergen will say, B'nai Mashal Torah, the Piaget, and said, you should spend time in all different kinds of life, all different kinds of things in life, as long as what? You give yourself a time frame for each. thing. I'm going to relax. So we'll say, so suddenly again, that act of watching the game is serving a higher purpose. I'm going to recharge. Because what's going to happen? I'm going to go to Mincha Ma'ariv and I'm going to be like a different person. Or tomorrow I'm going to be Daf Yomi. I shut down a little bit and now I'm ready to re-engage. If there's kavanah, because we'll say, what's the difference between what I'm describing and just literally becoming a massless blob that gets enveloped in a couch, right, with food all over himself, right? What's the difference, right? Which happens to a lot of humanity on Sunday afternoons. What's this about? Say intentionality. Intentionality. If I'm going, I'm doing something for a particular purpose. Here's the amount of time I'm doing it for, and here's why I'm doing it. That's intentionality. With intentionality, with kavana, that kiviyachol can become a form of service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that means that the Ribono Shel Olam will be there with you. Masha Enkin, if it's just like, whatever, I'm just plopping down here, and whenever I decide to get up, I'll get up. With zero intentionality as to why I'm doing this, and no schedule for anything else happening in life, that's mundane. That's mundane. And where there's sustained mundanity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm the king. I don't roll like that. Like that's not what I do. I don't engage in mundane stuff. And if that's what you're gonna do, I love you. We're great. But I'm just like, you know, like Lahavdil, like you can imagine, right? Let's say someone smokes. Right? Reuven, we'll call him Reuven, smokes. And what happens? His wife hates the smoking, but she lets him have the guilty pleasure. Okay? What's gonna happen? He says, I'm gonna have a cigarette. And what is she gonna say to him? Go outside. But don't you love me? Right? You always want to talk to me, right? You guys always want to talk about. You always want to spend time together. And now I have to go outside? Yeah. Because that activity, I'm accepting, you know, you're an adult man, Reuven, you could do it. But I'm not part of that activity. So you, again, I'm not saying it's awesome. I'm not saying you can't do it. But that's not something we do together. Like Lahavdil, the Rebbe says, we have to be so careful that there aren't activities like that in our lives where they're so mundane and just absent any really relevance, importance, or kedusha. Because if I have that, Kashbarah will say, listen, I love you. Go smoke outside. I don't like the smell. This is, I don't want to be around that. I love you. I do not love you any less. But if those are the behaviors you're engaging in, that's a solitary behavior. You do that yourself, I'm not with you. And I'll tell you, like when I was looking at this afternoon, it's a dramatically different, I think, section of life that we often don't think about, right? We're often focused in like two categories in life. There's mitzvahs and there's averus, right? Mitzvahs, do more of them. Averus, try to avoid them. And I understand the concept that the commission of an avera creates a distance between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I understand that and I accept that. And that's how the process of tshuva is kind of bridging that gap and trying to get back close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But I think what the Baal Tanya is introducing us to is there's this other category of life called mundane behavior, which I will say to me is so much scarier than sin. Right? Why? Because here's the good news about sin, right? What's the good news about sin? Mundane. I'm sorry? Oh, so that may or may not be true. In other words, we'll have to talk about that more. Ben is suggesting mundane behavior automatically leads to sin. I don't know. I don't know. But what I would say is like this. That the issue ultimately is that both sin and mundane behavior, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't want to be around for this. Right? Sin is probably a bit more divinely visceral. But mundane behavior, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't do this. I don't speak this language. I don't engage in this. So if you need to have the cigarette, go outside. But I'm not a part of that. Let's do one more line, then we'll stop for tonight. Now, ultimately, so I'm skipping down to the bottom of the right hand paragraph on page Yutes. So we'll say, how do I remedy this? So we're going to continue this into, we don't have shir next week because it's Rosh Hashanah and Mir Hashem, so we'll continue this during Aser Simin Shuvah. But the Rabbi says, "Ve'itza lif o ba'atzol lotes v'kabal pnei Hamelach, hinei ksiv ubikashte misham es Hashem alakecha umatzasa." The pasuk says that this week's parasha that you will seek out to ubikashte misham, you will seek out God misham from there. Or I should say, you will seek out from there es Hashem alakecha, Hashem your God. Umatzasa, and you will find him. The mashma mizeh, left hand paragraph page of test, shekedei limtso es Hashem drosh bikush v'chipos. Well, the chora in a move on. V'chi hu yisbarach begeder aveda chas Hashem shetzar chipos limtso osam. So let's say, see, here's the interesting part. So on one hand now, I understand what I have to do. And I understand that, I think for many of us, even more than our sinful behaviors, right? I was saying before, the good news about sin is that I know it's wrong, and almost always I know what I have to do to correct it, right? There's not really like this big mystery. I know exactly what needs to get done and how it needs to get done in order to correct it. The mundane piece is much harder. It's much harder because on any given day, if you do like a personal inventory of how you're spending your time, I think we would all find that there are swaths of mundane time. And that, which means that there are swaths of my day that I am not spending with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's sad. That's sad. So the Rebbe says, how do you remedy this? How do you remedy this? So the Pasuk itself says, Ubikashta Misham, you have to try to find Hashem your God. Now the Rebbe says, but one second. What do you mean you have to find Hashem your God? Is Hashem lost? Is Hashem lost that you have to find him? Perish, ki hine ksiv, vayar lakim asa ar kitov, upershu chazal kitov lignos, shebechin aremas. You know what? We'll stop here for tonight. So we'll pick up Emirat Hashem with this piece. So, right? So no shiur next week, but then the following Monday, right? That's still Yom Kippur is... Yeah, pre-Yom Kippur. That's Yom Kippur. So, you know, both say, so obviously now the avod, we have to try to figure out. So just again, to review the major salient points. Number one, the metaphor that the Rebbe gave us in Parak Aleph, Al HaMelech Basad, that the king is in the field, the Rebbe is repurposing that metaphor. Whereas originally the metaphor was God is the king, during the rest of the year he's in the city, in the palace, Elul, he's Basada in the field. The Rebbe repurposes the mashal, that Melech refers to us, to man, and there are two different states of man. There's a time when man is in the city, which means I'm living the life I'm supposed to be living. I'm engaged in good dynamic activity. And as a result, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with me. But then there are times when I'm Melech Basada, I'm in the field, or better said, the Rebbe said, the desert. The desert, where my actions are such that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not with me. What kind of actions are we talking about? And it's here that the Rebbe introduced us to the concept of mundane behavior. Of chol. That sometimes, again, I'm not committing averos, which, by the way, I just want to point out, if your biggest struggle is mundane behavior, just understand what an incredible win that already is. Right? That means that I've got the whole sin dynamic under control, and the one thing I'm contending with is mundane behavior. That is a fantastic place to be in life. But nevertheless, it's a compromised place, because the Melech HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not engage in mundane behavior. So if I'm engaged in mundane behavior, then ultimately, again, I'm not with the king. And if I'm not with the king, then I'm the Melech Basada. Then I am the king, ultimately, again, in the desert. And that's not a place where I want to be. How do we correct that? How do we change that? Emir Hashem, next week's shir, or 2 weeks shir, we'll say, Shkoyach. I'm sorry?
Don't be power.
Don't be power. Right? I think also what I was saying is, even if you want to be power, you're not going to be power. Right? In other words, just man is like, man, just like it's always shifting. So in other words, you're sinning, you're doing good, you're mundane, but you're always doing something. All right, so I'll say, Shkoyach.
Thank you.